Morning, everybody. I'm Sumit Sharma. I'm a PhD student at Texas Tech University, and for my today's talk, my co-authors are Dr. Nitya Rajan and Dr. Stephen Maas. Starting with a brief background, this image I obtained from National Agriculture Statistical Survey CropScape website shows the distribution of cropland across the United States. And in the area of our interest, these red dots represent cotton farming. So you can see it's quite intensive in this area. The Ogallala aquifer, with the decline in water table in Ogallala aquifer, the semi-arid in the semi-arid area, which largely depends upon Ogallala aquifer for irrigation of its land, we are looking at the increase in dryland acreage in this part of the Southern Great Plains. So farmers are shifting from irrigated cotton to dryland cotton. And now we know that once you shift from one cropping system to the other cropping system, this land use change can modify your carbon and energy dynamics, which makes it important for us to study how the study and compare the carbon and energy dynamics of irrigated cotton and dryland cotton. So with this, the objective of our study is to investigate the seasonal pattern in photosynthesis, ecosystem respiration, and evapotranspiration of irrigated cotton and dryland cotton measured using adecovariance flux towers in the Southern High Plains. So our study sites, our irrigated cotton study site is located in Plainview in Hale County, Texas. Soil type, major soil type Pullman clay loam, slope ranging from 0 to 1%, and the dryland cotton site is located in Lockney County, in Lockney, Floyd County, Texas, major soil type Pullman clay loam as well, and slope ranging from 0 to 1%. So to study carbon dynamics, we measure canopy photosynthesis. There are several different ways you can use to measure canopy photosynthesis. For example, you can use Likert 6400 to measure photosynthesis at leaf level, or you can use satellite-based sun-induced fluorescence, which is a relatively new technique, or you can measure fluxes of stable carbon isotopes. However, adecovariance measurements of carbon dioxide exchange between an ecosystem and the atmosphere are direct measurements, and they represent the net difference between the carbon uptake by plants through photosynthesis and the losses occurred through the ecosystem respiration. So what is adecovariance system? The wind flow over Earth's surface is not laminar. The surface roughness of the Earth breaks this momentum of laminar flow and creates eddies. We measure carbon dioxide and water molecules in these eddies above the canopy. So since we are interested in vertical flux, we measure the vertical velocity vector of the wind and multiply it with the simultaneous carbon dioxide concentration, take an average of it over time, which gives us the flux. So this is adecovariance. And this is actually over the mean, over the time, and for each second, whatever the deviation in these two, carbon dioxide and velocity vector, we multiply it. Since it is deviation which is multiplying, that's why it is called covariance. We use two instruments for adecovariance flux measurements. The first one is sonic anemometer, which measures wind velocity into its three-dimensional components. And the second one is infrared gas analyzer, which measures carbon dioxide and water vapor concentration in the air, in the eddies. And these are fast-responsing instruments. They take 10 measurements per second, which is frequency of 10 hertz. So since adecovariance gives us the net difference between photosynthesis and ecosystem respiration, it is called net ecosystem. Because plants are assimilating carbon through photosynthesis, they are also respiring, and so does the soil, and the difference is called net ecosystem exchange, which I may refer to as NEE in my further slides. Plants do not perform photosynthesis during daytime. So the nighttime. So the nighttime NEE represents the ecosystem respiration. We use this nighttime NEE and its relation with the nighttime temperature to develop empirical functions. This empirical function is further used to calculate the daytime ecosystem respiration. So this daytime ecosystem respiration is then added to a daytime net ecosystem exchange to calculate the gross photosynthesis or gross primary product, GPP. Similarly, we measure water flux and sensible heat flux. Water flux, which is evapotranspiration, we measure in latent heat terms in watts per meter square. We convert it into millimeters per 30 minutes and integrate to on the daily basis, millimeter per day. And in addition to these fluxes, we measure air temperature, relative humidity, soil heat flux plate, photosynthetically active radiation, solar irradiance, soil moisture, soil temperature, and rainfall. So with 10 measurements per second, we get a large amount of data. So to analyze this data, I use AdiPro software, which is a product of Lycor Biosciences. I feed this data into this software, which performs coordinate rotation, despiking, detrending, and density corrections, and computes the half-hourly fluxes of carbon dioxide and water vapors. During rainfall event or snowfall event, functioning of our instruments is interfered, and sometimes we lose data. To fill those gaps, we perform regression-based gap filling. And the final data we get is half-hourly, which we integrate to daily scale, to seasonal, to annual scale. And the statistical analysis we have done is by using sigma plot. So before I start discussing my results, as per the sign convention, when the ecosystem is assimilating carbon, it is negative. And when it is respiring, it is positive. And here in my data, the x-axis is the day of the year when the crop started and when the crop ended, matured, harvested. And the x-axis is net ecosystem exchange in grams carbon per meter square per day. So as you can see, early in the season when the plants are small, the ecosystem is respiring. As the time goes by, plants put on more biomass, more leaf area, they perform more photosynthesis, and eventually the gross primary product overcomes ecosystem respiration and you have net negative flux. Towards the end of the season, again, you start looking at ecosystem respiring because plants are reproducing, photosynthesis is decreasing, and they also spray defoliators and other stuff. So in dry land and irrigated, the trends are same, but magnitude of ecosystem respiration is higher in irrigated cotton cropping system in the early and late season. The magnitude of net ecosystem exchange is almost the same for both crops, and the spikes, these spikes here, occurred after rainfall events. So ecosystem started respiring after rainfall. So for 2015 season, I have data until September 28th, and it's showing the same trend, respiration in the early days, and then assimilation later in the season, and I'm still waiting on the October month. So it's the same trend. But what interesting thing we found in our data is in this graph, the dryland cotton acted as net sink of carbon in year 2014. So, and the irrigated cotton acted as a net source of carbon in last year. This year, the data I have so far, both fields are acting as sink until September 28th, day 271 of the year. But to compare that, how the fields were behaving until that day last year, I have seen the trend that the green ones, that they were also, during last year up to that time, they were still behaving as sinks. But over the time, irrigated cotton turned into a source of the carbon. And I tried to compare irrigated cotton and dryland cotton's biomass with its gross primary production or gross photosynthesis for 2014. So The trend is similar as the biomass increases, and which is above ground biomass, the gross primary production is also increasing, which you expect. But the high, it is high because it's above ground biomass. The net ecosystem exchange also includes below ground biomass. I also wanted to see how respiration is varying with the soil temperature. To see the sensitivity of ecosystem respiration with average daily soil temperature, I performed a regression, and I found that in all these in both treatments during both years, the Q10 value, which describes the sensitivity of respiration against the temperature, is same. It's not very different. It's 1.8 for both years and 1.074 both years in irrigated cotton. Coming on to evapotranspiration, again, x-axis day of the year, y-axis evaporation in millimeter per day. The dryland cotton picked up high, shows the high peaks early in the season and after rainfall events. Similarly, irrigated cotton is also showing. But as the season progresses, farmer irrigates, the ecosystem peaks up, and you see these spikes in the ecosystem in the evapotranspiration. In the irrigated system. For 2015, the data so far, we received more rainfall this year. We received 27 inches until September, as compared to 24 inches accumulative for the whole year in 2014, not until September 28th. The trend is almost the same, and again, he irrigates in the middle, and evapotranspiration is higher for irrigated cotton in the middle in these days. And cumulative evapotranspiration versus, I could not put a reference evapotranspiration though, but I'm presenting cumulative evapotranspiration here. So there is a difference in evapotranspiration in irrigated and dryland cotton. Of course, it received more water, so it it evaporated more. And for 2015, both fields, due to high rain, received good amount of rainfall, and evapotranspiration is not very different. And the I also compared the same day of planting for irrigated cotton and dryland cotton for 2014, and there is a difference in the evapotranspiration during this year, and which I think is because of the rainfall, less rainfall we received during that year. So the results I have so far, I can summarize that in 2014, dryland cotton field acted as net sink of carbon, and irrigated cotton was a net source of carbon. Both fields acted as net source of carbon in 2015, although the magnitude of carbon released was lower in dryland cotton. And irrigation and rainfall play a major role in determining the carbon source or sink status of the cropping system. But the final data, we can see the project is still in progress, and the final data we'll see if we repeat the results or not. And with that, I would like to thank my committee members, my student workers, and funding agencies. Thank you. That's rainfall event. So once you receive a rainfall, the respiration dominates gross photosynthesis. So after every rain, because the dryland field has less.
The next slide. Yes, that one. In the irrigated, there's that around, you know, this.
Yeah, the rainfall occurred in that season, and the soil carbon concentration in the soil is higher in irrigated cotton. And so microbes might be decomposing the carbon in the soil, So more substrate they had, they chewed on more and released more CO2.
Isn't that really a flushing of CO2 out? It's not true respiration at that.
Yes, it includes, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It includes, yeah, it includes both, yeah. The farmer has the irrigation data, but most of the time he applies about 0.75 inches. So I do not correspond with the farmer directly. So, yeah.
How tall is
it? It's about 7 feet, about 2 meters. It's about 2 meters. It's one meter from the canopy. No response, yeah.
But your curve show is it possible to calculate?
Yeah, just like he said that carbon dioxide flux we see could be the flushing out of carbon dioxide from the soil after rain.
No, but your actual Q10 graph show a nice response to temperature, and your Q10 values are like 1.08, it doesn't
explain it. I don't have any exact answer, but that's the equation I got, and I represent it here. No problem. For dryland cotton, I'm still looking for the data for 2015 data, and we'll see if we see the same results for this year as well.
Let's try to make sure.